We welcome to the show State Representative Jennifer Leeper, who represents Fairfield and was recently appointed as the House Chair of the Education Committee here in Connecticut. Congratulations, State Representative Leeper. We appreciate having you on the show. How are you?
Thanks so much, Melissa. It's great to be here.
And I will say you had an amazing interview with my colleague, Lisa Wexler. I heard you on the show earlier this week, and a phenomenal interview. And for people who want to know your background a little bit better in education, you know, I know you had mentioned you had not been a teacher per se, but man, you have an incredible resume when it comes to education, which qualified you for this position. Do you mind just sharing that with our listeners?
Oh, happy to. I am really fortunate to have experienced education from a lot of different purviews. So when I was in graduate school in Chicago, I got into the education space through a federal high dosage tutoring program for high school students identified as high risk to drop out. And I loved the work. They brought me in to be a classroom aide for a freshman remedial algebra class. Then after graduating from graduate school, I went and served as a school administrator in an elementary school in New York City, where I also was the director for special education, and then worked in the performance office of Connecticut State Department of Education and also on the Fairfield Board of Education. So I've seen education through a lot of lenses, and I'm feeling just so privileged to now be supporting all of Connecticut's children in this new role.
Yeah, we're very excited to see what happens. And again, State Representative Jennifer Leeper is right here in our listening area representing Fairfield and just appointed as the House Chair of the Education Committee. You know, this wasn't actually in the cards until the report became live this week for the general public. I did want to get your take, Representative Leeper, on the CSCU report, not so much whether or not you think it's, you know, justified the money that came out in that audit report, which came from Comptroller Sean Scanlon. I know he said he put 10 recommendations forward about avoiding irresponsible spending and making spending reports more public. That's something the legislature will be tackling in 2025. I wanted to know, though, especially with your background in education, your opinion on just in general poor spending decisions when it comes to impacting education and whether or not the leadership, specifically Chancellor Chang, should remain in this role. Or does that kind of tell a bad story about how we manage education in the state?
So I haven't been deep in the weeds, but clearly there was a serious lack of judgment. And when you're working in the public sector, how you are spending taxpayer dollars is of the utmost importance because it jeopardizes public trust when you misspend public dollars. And we have a real responsibility to ensure every dollar possible is going toward the education of our students, and especially in this climate with rising costs, rising tuitions, the idea that irresponsible spending by, you know, high-level executives could lead to increased costs for students, it's unacceptable.
Yeah, I think it just, again, it sets a really poor precedent. And I've had Terrence Chang on this show. He used to come on a monthly basis, actually, for about a year he had been on this show. And, you know, we got to really know each other. But I think the issue is, and it wasn't just him, Comptroller Sean Scanlon made that very clear. I know Governor Lamont is kind of writing off what was found. He's saying, you know, like you said, poor judgment. So I don't want it to all fall on him. This was also an issue that was there well before he was voted into office. But I think that this really makes Connecticut residents feel like, wait a minute, where are our tax dollars going? I thought this was going to our school infrastructure and getting good teachers in the district and security concern, you know, things that we care about, HVAC. I mean, the list goes on and on. When you find out that your tax dollars are actually not even going to opportunities for kids in the state to get a good college education and, you know, adults who never got to have a college education to know that those dollars were not technically going there, I think just leaves a very bad taste in the mouths of Connecticut residents, taxpayers especially.
Yeah, like I said, it's unacceptable and we have to be held to a higher standard and the needs of students have to come first.
So I'm curious, Representative Leeper, we know, and I know for a couple of years people have said I've sounded the alarm, maybe unnecessarily, but now here we are, and I find that that was not the case. We're coming up on, the halfway point of the 2024-25 school year, and I know there's a lot of focus on Bridgeport. They are reaching about a $39 million deficit this year, and a lot of that is because the COVID money ran out. If I were making an educated guess, I would imagine most school districts are going to see budget cuts of some regard. It doesn't mean people are going to lose their jobs, but I do think we're going to see schools look and act and do things differently next year because the COVID money ran out. How do we recoup either funds, or how do we restructure? How do we handle that, especially because it sounds like by the end of this school year, ahead of the 2025 year, I think this is going to impact almost every school district in Connecticut.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're all bracing for some difficult financial realities. I will say, as a House Committee Chair, my top priority is maintaining our education cost sharing dollars that we were able to increase over the past 2 years. And that has to be paramount. And then also the Speaker's priority bill for this legislative session is on special education, because we know all of our districts really are buckling under the expense of special education. So we need to find efficiencies where we can incentivize districts to create programs in district to bring down those costs of outplacing students, which can really send a district into the red. One or two students can make a huge difference, because for some of those really specialized programs, I'm sure you know, it can be anywhere from $100,000 a year to $300,000-$400,000 if it's a residential placement, and districts really don't have the bandwidth to absorb those types of costs. So we're looking at ways to incentivize more regionalization and collaboration between districts, and leveraging our regional education service centers, which we actually already have and often people don't know about. So leveraging them to better support districts, and then providing more financial incentives for districts to create these specialized programs within the district.
And when we talk about also the money running out, like you mentioned, special education, that is probably one of my biggest fears, Representative Leeper, mostly because we already, before the pandemic happened, and the story that stands out to me, I'm sure you remember, it was before Mayor Caroline Simmons came into office. I remember the former mayor came on the show and I said, how in the world have you guys let go of over, I think it was something like 20 or 21 paraprofessionals. It was an astronomical amount of paraprofessionals, and it came down to budget cuts. And I said, that is the last role you should be cutting. And this was before the pandemic. And so now we're in this place where we know mental health is an issue. We know that kids, there's a huge learning gap. My biggest concern is that the rest of our COVID funds went into incentivizing special education teachers and just teachers in general. And now we're not going to have that money going into the 2025-26 school year. So what do we do?
Yeah, so hopefully districts weren't using their ARPA or ESSER dollars for staff positions. I'm sure it was happening, but you're absolutely right. We're already in the midst of a teacher shortage crisis. And of course, our most at-risk districts are the ones experiencing it to the greatest degree. So we are working, again, also our RESCs are having programs to incentivize people from within the community, paras actually, to become teachers through the Alternate Pathways program, to continue to grow the pipeline of our educators and to retain our educators. And we did allow for better health insurance for paras as an incentive to keep more paras in our schools. But you're right, it's a real challenging job. I think anybody who knows anything about schools knows that our paraeducators are worth their weight in gold, mm-hmm. and they are really dramatically underpaid for extremely challenging jobs. And every year we are talking about how we can better support our paras to keep them in these roles, because they directly impact students' well-being and education. And so whatever we can do to keep all of our paras, attract new people to that profession, is paramount.
We have State Representative Jen Leeper here, who represents Fairfield, and earlier this year was appointed as the House Chair of the Education Committee. So we're talking about a focus on education across Connecticut. I wanted to talk, Jen, about specifically Bridgeport, and I was actually sent copies of these two letters, one that came from the former board chair, Christine Baptiste Perez, and then a second letter that came some odd days later from the current board chair, Jennifer Perez, and the acting superintendent, Royce Avery. Basically, regardless of the odds that the board has been at and everything, you know what's been going on in Bridgeport. It's a disaster. They're reaching a almost $39 million deficit. They've already cut 45 positions. More are coming. You know, just as you had said before, they did use COVID funding for positions, which was not a smart move. Regardless of that, though, in just the last 4 years, Bridgeport has gone through four acting, interim, and permanent superintendents. So they've got a leadership problem. They've got a financial failure. It's a disaster. And my understanding is now Bridgeport Public School officials have been called to Hartford to explain this to the State Board of Education. What in the world can be done for Bridgeport? I am so worried about the 19,000 plus students in that district.
Yeah, I think it's a crisis. And, you know, the people who are really paying the price are the children and families. So, of course, I will be working extremely closely with my Bridgeport colleagues on how we best support the district. There obviously needs to be a really holistic reassessment of what this community and this district needs. This is an enormous hole that I think the state is going to have to partner with the district to find ways to fill, so that we already know our Bridgeport students are disproportionately being served by subs because the teacher shortage is hitting them the hardest. Similarly to what we were discussing about paras, they have a huge para shortage. These are all of the adults who are working most closely with children and educating them. And so there's no wonder why these achievement gaps and opportunity gaps persist when you don't have those professionals supporting our kids. So they're going to need additional funding, but they're also going to need to think about their facilities and how they can better reach economies of scale, especially around special education, and maybe looking into a way to consolidate staff and students for some specialized programming to keep more students in district. There's going to need to really be a top-to-bottom reevaluation of how we best meet the needs for the students in Bridgeport. I am an eager partner to engage in all that work.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Representative Leeper. And I will confess, I might be biased. I'm a huge fan of Fran Rabinowitz, huge fan of her. She's also a former, she was an interim superintendent in Bridgeport for 3 years. She gets it. Like, she really gets it. And she has such great, I think, solutions. You know, I think you talked about earlier in just our conversation, you were saying, how can we get districts to collaborate, for example? And I remember talking to Fran years ago. This was probably when Tastani was still the superintendent at the time. She had talked about how there are such easy solutions for students to get access to more education opportunities if we don't have the teachers, for example, to allow them to take classes, let's say, in Fairfield or a neighboring town or something. Like, there are so many. She has great ideas, and she gets it because she's worked that district so hard. And I know she's the executive director for the Connecticut Association of Public School Superintendents. If I can recommend, if you want to pick someone's brain on this and find concrete solutions, she would be somebody I recommend, quite frankly.
So I will tell you, Fran is a very good friend of mine. I was just on the phone with her yesterday. Fran is the best of the best, and couldn't say it better. She gets it. Mm-hmm. And she has a really astute eye for cutting through the noise and the nonsense.
Yes.
And getting to the root of what's best for kids. And it's my favorite thing about Fran. She really is always focused on what's best for students and learning. And we need more of that. And I will continue to lean on her and learn from her about how we can be as effective of a partner for the school district of Bridgeport.
I love that you're focused on it. That checks that you're already connected to Fran. I'm so happy to hear that. And Representative Leeper, I want to thank you so much for even starting the conversation here on Melissa in the Morning. I can guarantee you, as long as this wasn't a painful process for you, that you will be hearing from me. I'd love to have you back on in 2025 multiple times. Would be great.
You got it. There's so much work ahead in our schools, spaces from assessment and technology in our schools and funding, of course. So I would love to come back. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Representative Leeper, thank you so much. And again, Jen represents Fairfield, but also was appointed as the House Chair of the Education Committee. And as we enter into the 2025 legislative session, certainly somebody I would love to have back on the show to talk about education in our state.